Luister jij graag naar deze podcast en wil je de maker ondersteunen voor alle moeite en toffe content? Geef dan, als je wat kan missen, een digitale fooi. Dat doe je via fooiepot.com zonder abonnement of het achterlaten van privégegevens. Dus fooiepot.com.
Leuk dat je luistert naar Dingedom, de Nederlandse podcast over het Eurovisie Songfestival met Marco Dreyer en G.J. Kooijman. We zijn live in Liverpool en dat betekent dat we heel veel van de kandidaten die dit jaar meedoen aan het Eurovisie Songfestival 2023 spreken, die volgende week natuurlijk losbast hier in Liverpool. Daarom vandaag een extra speciale aflevering die je krijgt met alleen maar interviews die we de afgelopen dagen hebben gedaan. Van hysterische momenten tot inspiratie die ze gebruiken in hun optredens en veel meer. Je hoort vandaag interviews met Riley uit Denemarken, Theodor André uit Roemenië, Gustav uit België. Je hoort Andrew Lambrew uit Cyprus. Je hoort Dilja uit IJsland. Je hoort de mannen van Voyager uit Australië en de Busker uit Malta. Daarnaast hoor je ook nog Kadia uit Finland, een van de grote favorieten van dit jaar. Alessandra van Noorwegen, die de eerste halve finale mag gaan openen. Minikat uit Portugal. De heren van Wild Youth uit Ierland. En we spraken Luke Black uit Servië. Dat zijn alle interviews die je vandaag gaat horen. Veel plezier ermee. We zijn er zaterdag weer met een nieuwe podcast. Vol met avonturen, belevenissen. We bespreken de repetities van de grote vijf. En natuurlijk de rest van de tweede halve finale qua repetitiebeelden. Er gaat van alles gebeuren hier bij het Songfestival. Blijf ons volgen op @Eurovisionpodcast. En dan spreken we je heel snel weer. Veel plezier met luisteren. I am now joined by Riley from Denmark. What has this been like, this experience?
It's been, it's been incredible and crazy and hectic and extremely sort of, it's been a growing experience. I feel like I've grown a lot as an artist and as a person as well.
Yeah, of course, you started as a content creator online where you create and do everything yourself, and now you have a team around you. Usually, you know, sometimes it happens the other way around where you have a great team and they all decide things for you and then you find your voice.
Got you.
You're doing it the other way around. That must feel really empowering.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like every artist, I mean, most artists hopefully can agree with me that true creativity comes from the artist. You know, that really is how it is. It might have been different back in the day in the music industry, but today, good creativity and a distinct style and a brand and fashion and all these things, it really comes from the artist. So definitely. I mean, it's been an amazing journey from creating videos in my bedroom to now being on one of the biggest music stages in the world, and I'm excited.
And of course, on that stage, we see you bring a huge set piece with you, which yes. I think must come with a little bit of technical choreo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What has that been like, figuring out where do you go, how do you do it, and still being in the moment of the performance?
I mean, it's been tricky. I've got to be honest with you. I think I try to tell myself that first rehearsals are always a bit sort of messy. It's always a bit, you know, it's just about figuring out exactly how it's going to work. I did rehearse with the prop before Liverpool, so I know exactly what to do, but I'm just like a perfectionist, so I need to know exactly what's happening. And I think the first rehearsal went really well, and looking forward to tomorrow's rehearsal as well.
And of course, you have an amazing sense of style and fashion. Who are your inspirations? Who have given you like all those flavors that you combine in your own style now?
For my fashion?
Yeah.
I would say, I have to give credits to K-pop. I think K-pop, the K-pop industry, I mean, as a whole, that's a different conversation, but they elevate and they are just next level. But especially with fashion, I mean, they just really know how to put things together. And it's this amazing blend of street, but also like high fashion. And it's, you know, that would definitely have to be one of my, I don't always get this question actually, like fashion influences. I always get musical influences, but I would say fashion influences are way more heavily, way more K-pop than I think my music influences are. So, yeah.
And of course, my co-host for the podcast, he has done musicals when he was younger. So did you.
Yeah.
How does that help you now?
I think it helps me in the sense that I'm very used to being on a stage in front of a live crowd. And I'm used to just sort of like keeping the show going, you know, no matter what happens. So I think I'm very sort of tough in that way, because I did that when I was really young. So although I've been in front of the screen a lot, as I've done Instagram and TikTok and stuff, my background is sort of like my beginning was in front of crowds, and it was very like down and dirty, you know, with a live audience and very quick turnarounds and just, you know, a lot of shows. It was 6 shows a week, so.
Damn, that is, then this is nothing. This might be peanuts compared to that.
No. Well, now it's going to be way more. I think we have like 3 shows in one day, because with the dress rehearsal and then the live audience and then the jury, like, there's a lot of stuff happening.
And then final question, what's next for you? What is your dream in 5 years? Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do we want to go?
The best question of all. I have a song coming out. I don't think I can say when yet. Can I say when? I don't know. I have to wait because my manager isn't here. But very soon after Eurovision, I have a song coming out. It's one of my favorite songs, and I really mean that. I've written music for a long time, and I've released music for over a year. But this song really is special to me, and I wrote it right after the Danish finals. So it's very fresh. I haven't been sitting on it for months and months, so I'm really excited about that one.
We can't wait for it to come out. Yes. Kick some ass in that second semifinal. You're opening it with, you know, we've heard a very sparkly outfit. You're going to do your very best. You're going to slay and have so much fun, Riley.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I am now joined by the brilliant, chaotic energy, and of course, musical geniuses of Voyager.
Hi!
What has it been like that now that you're finally in Liverpool? Because you've been touring Europe for the last month. You came over for the pre-parties, haven't left since. What is it like to be here in Liverpool now?
It's great. We have no homes to come back to anymore. So it's really nice that Liverpool has adopted us as their own. I feel like we've been preparing this for quite some time, actually. Yeah. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm hoping I've got a family to come home to. But as you suggest, maybe they've all abandoned us, moved on, because we've been over here for quite a while. Yeah.
We have each other.
We've got each other now.
Mm. That's all that matters.
Yeah. What is that like, having each other throughout not only your career, but now here at Eurovision? You have sounding boards. You get to do this together as a band. What is that feeling like?
I think that is very, it's very handy and very, maybe it's an overlooked element of doing anything such as this. Like, Eurovision is so big, and I kind of sometimes feel for the solo artists because they don't have anyone to share the pressure with. We all 5 of us can just kind of, you know, we can take on this pressure, and it disperses evenly throughout us, and I mean, it is really nice. Yeah, we can kind of vent to each other about stuff, and it's a bit more of a shared experience.
Most of the time it just devolves into in jokes and silly noises, though, so it's
Yeah.
Who makes the most silliest noises out of the 5 of you?
Intentionally, possibly you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unintentionally, whoever's asleep at the time.
Of course, this year we see an amazing onset of bands coming into the competition, all different kinds of groups, musical styles and stuff like that. What do you think it is about Eurovision now that brings so many bands back to Eurovision again?
I don't know what band in the world wouldn't want to jump on that stage. I mean, a lot of the time, especially when you're starting out and playing original music, you're on some pretty small and somewhat questionable stages. And all that time, you're probably dreaming of a stage like Eurovision. So I think it's just nice that the doors are open now and everyone's going, yeah, I want that. I want that. And I want some fireworks, and I want some lighting. I want a catwalk, and I'd like a crowd of 200 million people. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It kind of seems more weird to expect only solo artists. Like, why shouldn't there be an even amount of bands versus solo performers? You know, I mean, our world, it's weirder to have a solo performer. Like, yeah, you know, you wouldn't see it. So for us, it's like, well, yeah, of course there's going to be bands there. It's a music competition. That's what bands do.
And of course, we heard in your press conferences now that this song was created with Eurovision in mind. Of course. What is that like? Was that process like of creating something for Eurovision?
It was really beneficial for us as songwriters, actually, because when you're writing original music without any kind of restriction, you kind of do what you want, you follow what feels good, you play, I think, a little bit for yourself as well. When you do a song for Eurovision, you only got 3 minutes. You have to scrutinize everything like a producer. You know, every drum hit, every note on the guitar, every transition has to be meticulously crafted, and you have to be quite brutal as well. You have to kind of leave your ego at the door and go, okay, we don't need that drum fill, or you know, we don't need that scream. Not in our case.
No.
And we keep the screams, but yeah.
Screams in.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, you also created a brilliant remix, which we've seen out with, you know, a little bit more. How was that process like of refiguring the song for those kinds of stuff? Must be so much fun to kind of take what you have and then go, how can we twist this?
We can kind of thank Danny for that. Yeah, he was the mastermind behind that one. He's been composing that kind of music, electronic music, in the shadows for like many, many years. And you know, I'm sure he's got a hard drive loaded with that kind of music. And a lot of Voyager songs start like that. And he's like, yeah, I've got this cool idea, and he'll bring it to us, and then Scott will write a riff around it, and then I'll write a bass line, and we figure out a groove, and we kind of streamline our songwriting process like that. So it was kind of, I think it was probably kind of interesting to kind of maybe reverse engineer the song a little bit back to what it probably was going to end up being anyway.
Now, you've rehearsed already on that stage. You are bringing a magnificent vision. I've heard things about pyro, a car, a keytar, everything is happening. Is there something that you wanted to bring that you couldn't bring? Is this literally everything you wanted in the vision?
From day one, Australia decides I'd ask for David Copperfield. This year, I wanted David Copperfield strung up upside down to be lowered from the ceiling and to not perform any magic, just to be there, just to show people that we had the budget to have someone of his caliber.
I mean,
and not even do any magic for no reason, just to blow people's minds.
I mean, San Marino brought Flo Rida out in Rotterdam, so David Copperfield would work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That or Cher or Barbara Streisand maybe would have been awesome to have on stage.
We are very realistic, humble and grounded individuals who don't really expect the world. I think it's been really good for us to sort of, sacrifice some of those things for the sake of the show. I did offer to be set on fire. I'm a tiny bit disappointed that hasn't happened. No one has gone for that.
Maybe we can figure this out for the final.
Or after.
It's fine.
As long as it happens while I'm in Liverpool. I take that back.
Okay,
that's it. It's of course been...
Careful what you wish for, mate.
It's been a momentous year for Australia as well. You've had World Pride going on there.
Yes.
What was that like? Were you guys there for that?
Actually, we were a little bit. I think just after the main parade. We were there maybe the day or the second day after to do some press for the Australian Eurovision. And it's amazing. Like I've not actually been to Sydney during Pride, so I got to go, at the tail end of the biggest Pride event, and the whole city is just decked out with rainbows.
There's
all these parties everywhere. There's beautiful people all over the streets in various states of undress. It was just it was glorious. Such a fun party.
And of course, it's another momentous year for Australia because we don't know what the future holds for Eurovision in Australia. You guys are the bookend of the first chapter of it. How does that feel? And what do you think, should you guys continue? And if so, what should the direction be forward for Australia?
In our world, bookending this concert translates to headlining the gig. It only felt right that we be placed in that position, and it's a spot that we'll gladly take. And I think our song was perfect to end the night with. I can't remember the other part of your question. Sorry, what was that?
Should Australia continue at Eurovision? And if so, what's the path forward musically?
I think there's a very clear path forward, which is Perth 2024.
Yeah.
And all we need is just a couple of 12 pointers from a few countries. And that will help Australia stay in the competition, I think.
The rest of the world gets to vote now.
Exactly. And everyone gets to come to Australia. What a great holiday.
Oh my God. What time do we start the show then?
3 a.m. I think 3 a.m.
Yeah, something like that.
That's fine. That's doable, right?
You're awake anyway, right?
In Australia, we've been doing that since 1982, I believe. So it's
Ashley is owed.
Yes, I've been getting up very early for very many years for this competition.
And I have to ask, there's so many other bands in this competition. If you would create an amazing festival with all of them together, which is the band you would most likely to do a duet with, a surprise duet with?
Vesna.
Yeah, why?
I reckon Vesna. What they do could be translated into the folk metal genre or just any kind of dark ambient metal so easily and with so much power. And you know what? What metal carries is I don't want to say a dark. It's kind of like a darkness. It doesn't have to be negative, but it is carrying the power of
force.
Of force, and kind of I want to say the darker side of life, and I sense that, and it's kind of like a radar that you have when you listen to a lot of heavy music. You can hear even pop songs. You're like, I can hear the elements of that would really work with metal, and it can be uplifting but also just crushing at the same time.
Yeah.
So Vesna, their voices, they're incredible, and I know, you just get goosebumps thinking about it, and so I would pick them.
Yeah.
And I have to ask you guys and the females in the band. are super stylish. What are your fashion inspirations? Do you have any? Like, what is?
Well, fashion inspiration is just wearing black.
we've knocked it up a notch this time around, haven't we?
Yeah.
Collaborating with Zhivago in Perth.
So this is Zhivago.
Yes. And Ali.
And Ali.
And Ali for our shirts. Yeah.
Designer from Western Australia. This is the Indigenous flag, Aboriginal flag, which we're like more than proud to be showing and on the world stage.
I think it's how we dress, but dialed up many notches.
Yeah,
it's like exaggerated versions of ourselves.
Would it maybe be time for an Aboriginal act at Eurovision next year from Australia?
As an
entry?
I think that would be incredible. A name that is often thrown around for those Electric Fields, and they were in Australia Decides as well, and they would be incredible for this. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And what final question? The night after the final and the next morning, what are your plans? Are you guys going straight back home? Are you sleeping in? Or are you going heavily partying because you can finally let go? What is that plan immediately after Eurovision?
I don't know. Mm. Does it depend on whether we win or not?
It really doesn't, does it?
No,
not really. It didn't matter at Australia Decides.
I really just, I don't know, I just want to have like a lot of beers.
Yes.
Yeah, like it just, I almost don't want the bubble to be popped. But be warned about this, you know, it's like the first, this is our first Eurovision. Danny, our singer, has been before. But once it's over, I'm going to be really, really sad. And I don't know, I'd be excited for next year just to follow along and
see what happens.
Yeah.
If we don't go to bed, it doesn't end.
Oh my God, I'd never thought about that.
So we're going to have to stay awake for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
That's fine, I can do that. That's great. Yeah. I don't need sleep. Who needs sleep? Sleep's overrated.
I need sleep.
Now that we're talking about beers, we're from the Netherlands, so we are always in this, you know, internal debate. Foam on a beer? No foam on a beer.
Yeah, I reckon just depends. Yeah, it's what. Yeah, you want some.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a little bit of head, right? The Netherlands, we've had lots of head. Other places? Other places?
Trust me, I've had a lot of head in my life, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, from a beer perspective, the head is very important. It locks in the flavor.
See, I used to work for Heineken. I could tell you 10 minutes on why the head and the foam is really important in that case.
But I also used to work for a brewery.
Oh, my God. Hey, we'll go catch up on some beers later.
Let's get a beer.
Let's do this. Guys from Voyager, thanks so much. Have the best time on that stage. I think you're going to give a lot of energy all around Europe. Everyone's going to be blown away by it.
Yes, well, I hope so. And we're releasing our 8th album right after Eurovision.
Very cool.
And we're touring Europe. We're going back to the Netherlands
in October.
Mm-hmm. For Australian fans, we're coming back in June. So we'd really urge you, if you want to see what Voyager are about, that you know, for more than 3 minutes, we have a lot more in us. So come to the show, check us out online. We'd really appreciate it.
And if you don't care about that, we will be playing Promise. So you'll at least get that.
Yeah, you'll get the hit, the summer smash hit.
Yeah.
But there's so many smash hits you've already made in your past as well, so you've got to come check that out too.
Exactly.
100%.
Guys, have so much fun. Thanks for being here at Eurovision.
Thank you very much.
And I'm now joined by Andrew Lambrou, who is representing Cyprus, but is from Australia. That must be a fun mix to have around at this Eurovision.
Yeah, it is very fun. I mean, Eurovision's about uniting the world, and I definitely feel that right now, for sure.
Of course, you competed in the national finals in Australia last year. Now you're representing Cyprus. What has that Eurovision journey been like mentally? Not doing it last year, then getting to do it this year?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster, but I've been enjoying every second of it. And for me, as an artist and a musician, one thing I love is performing, and I love going out there and being passionate about what I do. So to do this on the biggest stage in the world now is mind-blowing. I can't even wrap my head around it, but I'm feeling very grateful.
And of course, Cyprus has this really high bar working with Panic Records and stuff like that of sending amazing songs. Did that feel like pressure when, you know, you knew you were doing this for Cyprus?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was important that I connected to the song. And it was a really great process because, of course, I have a team and we all want to collectively make a decision together. But, of course, my decision is very important because I'm the one singing the song. And it was a very smooth decision. We all loved the song. I loved it. And I said, this is the one. And we said, okay, let's go.
And, of course, that song has some really high, like, challenging notes in it. Was that something that was daunting to you, or was that the fun challenge to work on?
No, I enjoy the challenge. And for me, you know, I'm always singing in my falsetto, going woo all the time. So it's something that comes quite naturally to me, especially having, you know, these big falsetto notes in the song. So I'm looking forward to it.
And what has it been like creating the stage presence around the song? Because it looks very impactful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great. And one thing about Eurovision is you work with some of the best people in the world, and I really feel that, and it's absolutely mind-blowing seeing everyone put all their efforts into something and seeing it come to life now. So it's amazing, and I'm super grateful, and I can't wait to perform for Cyprus and perform for everyone. It's just crazy.
And of course, you have amazing style. Who are some of your fashion influences and inspirations?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, there's so many out there. I really love The Weeknd style. Really, really like The Weeknd style. I like Bruno Mars too, has some great style. I've been looking at some of these outfits from the Met Gala the other day. And
who were your favorites?
That's hard. I mean, Lil Nas was really like, whoa.
Body paint and everything.
Crazy, crazy. It's like, that's the one place where you can do whatever you want. And Jared Leto with the
looking like the cat, yeah. Pochette, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, it was crazy. But who knows, one day I might go crazy there too, who knows?
Who knows? And I have to ask, this Eurovision period is crazy. What do you do at the end of the night? What do you watch? What do you read? What are you listening to podcast-wise or music-wise to like really chill?
I mean, I don't want to be too boring, but I'm quite relaxed and I like to just chill out at nighttime. I've been watching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, huge basketball fan.
Wild story.
Yeah, crazy story. And also just his determination with what he does is something that I'm trying to latch onto, and seeing how he went about things. It's like putting myself in a similar headspace and believing in myself. And what else? I like to play games. I've been playing Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy.
Which house did you pick?
Slytherin.
How far along are you in the game? I've already finished it. No spoilers.
I want to finish it, but I'm too busy to finish it. But at the moment, I'm thinking, what was the last thing I did? I met the hippogriff.
Oh my God, that's the fun part, and it'll be more amazing once you get into the hippogriff and stuff later.
Yeah, because I'm a side missions guy. I like to try and do everything at once, not just do the main story. So I'm taking it slow, but
because there's so many, I've tried to like, and then at a certain point, I was like, I have to get back to the normal one as well. Yeah. I'm waiting before Eurovision, but I'm waiting for Jedi Lone Survivor, the new one. I was like, it's coming out 2 days before Eurovision. No, I should wait until after.
Well, that's the thing. Even my outfit, like, it gives me Jedi vibes. Like, I feel like a Jedi up there, you know what I mean? And so that, yeah, I like that.
Would you be Jedi or Sith?
Oh, I would be a Jedi, I think.
Yeah. Final question. Of course, this is the last year of the original contract of Australia being in Eurovision. If you could say something to the people making that decision at SBS, what would you say to them?
Please extend it, please, because us Australians love Eurovision. We're passionate, and it's part of the culture now in Oz. So, yeah, it needs to be extended.
Very, very good. Andrew Lambrou, we cannot wait to see you perform. Hit those falsetto notes, and I really hope you get to finish the game, because, trust me, worth it. Completely worth it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we take a picture?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, it's the busker. Yeah. How are you guys doing? It's Tuesday. How has this Eurovision bubble been here in Liverpool?
How has it been, brother?
How has it been? No, it's been amazing. It's a week away from the semifinals, night one. Things are obviously moving faster than we thought. I mean, it's already our fourth day in Liverpool. We had our first rehearsal. We were very excited and pleased to see how it turned out. Definitely, we have a lot of notes to follow up through. And tonight is the biggest rehearsal we're going to have before tomorrow's second rehearsal. We just really want to make sure that tomorrow the changes would be very minimal, which will give us more confidence for the semifinal night.
What does it feel like to be on that huge stage? Because you did your national final, and then you know you're going there. You're thinking about how it's going to be. What is it like to actually be there mentally?
I think I can speak for all of us when I say it's an honor. You know, being on that stage with such a legacy of a competition behind it, you know, and such a history behind such a big competition and a big thing which everyone views, 160 to 180 million people. That even when I say, every time I get to say that in an interview, I get goosebumps, you know, and I feel them getting goosebumps. I can feel their hairs rising, you know. But we're super excited. We're ready. As per usual, we're still rehearsing tonight. We're going hard at it. We're going to make sure to bring our best foot forward, as we always do. We take everything very, very seriously, but we still try to smile in the process and make people smile with us as we go along, because that's who we are as the busker.
And I'm wondering, of course, we see you bring some guests on stage, you know, in cardboard version. Who was in charge of the guest list, and how did you pick who was on the guest list?
I think, it was very hard.
Acts, yes. How did you come to pick these?
I think if you have a look into the cardboards, each person sort of was
present in some way or another in our career. For example, let's take an example of like Glen Vella. Glen Vella was the one who hosted the Malta Eurovision Song Contest of this year. So obviously, it was, we built a connection. You know, he should be up on stage. But yes, overall, we would love if we could include all the participants, but you know, it's impossible. We need six stages. So yes, it is what it is.
What it is.
And of course, this is the first year after, you know, a couple of weird editions of Eurovision where you get to go into the city, you get to meet the other contestants. What has that been like? Have you met any of the other, like, people? Have you hung out here with other contestants? And what do you think of the city?
Unfortunately, we didn't have time to yet.
Mostly at pre-parties. We
at pre-parties, but pre-parties. We're sharing a hotel with Latvia contestants, with Armenia and Norway. We did manage to just, you know, meet, bump in the lifts and bump the staircase. I think we're all in the same zone. We're all focused, and we're all just trying to put our best game face on. Definitely, we're meeting at the stadium. We did meet Luke Black, and he was so cool. Like, I think he's on our level. He's as excited, but also chill about it. You know,
he's a bro.
Yeah, he's a bro.
He's such a bro. I love the guy.
But unfortunately, we didn't get to go around much the city. However, we are planning on trying to do a bit of cultural visits. Yesterday, okay. Yesterday we did go to the music experience.
British music experience.
That was lovely. Definitely music related, and all of us just.
I got to see Mark Boland's jacket and guitar, man. That was.
Oh.
That was the stuff, man. My dad's obsessed with Mark Boland, so I got to send him a photo. He got excited. I got excited. We both got excited. So yeah, it's amazing.
Guys, final question. The turquoise carpet is coming up this Sunday. What are you wearing? What is happening? What are we wearing? What are we wearing?
Can I answer this one, guys? So I've been wanting to say we are wearing something all my life. Since I was like 6 years old, I wanted to be on a red carpet and say I'm wearing someone. So we're wearing Charles and Ron from Malta, leader designers in Malta. They are the trailblazers when it comes to fashion in Malta. And we're going to proudly be sporting their goods on that.
Amazing. Can you give us a description of what it will look like without giving it away? Like, what does it feel when you,
different.
Different.
Oh my God, I can't
wait. Out of the box.
Yeah, we're pushing the envelope on this one. Yeah.
Cannot wait. The Busker, have so much fun. Have so much, like, relaxed and fun times tomorrow on that stage. You've got the party. You've got the energy. You've got the great visuals and a good car. So let's go.
Let's go.
Lopia? So we know it could take the sound and voice. I am now joined by Theodore from Romania. What has this experience been like?
Well, first of all, hello to all of our viewers. It's really an honor to be on your show. Yeah, it's really, really cool. I've been preparing for this show for a long time now, and I'm really, really flattered about all these opportunities that come up with Eurovision and this whole show that we are going to prepare for the 11th of May for the second semifinal, and. I believe that this message that we're trying to deliver will go past the TV screens and enter the hearts of everybody watching us from home. Because this whole song, DGD Off and On, talks about a word in love. And this whole battle in between logical decisions and emotional feelings and a complete necessary evil to which you come back to no matter how much it damages you long term. And I think that this whole serious message surrounded by a sexy atmosphere that the track gives you, and this whole fusion in between rock and roll, blues, hip hop, R&B, and pop elements. This is sort of a new age Eurovision cocktail, if you may say so. Yeah, so I find it really, really cool. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in the national final, I wrote "Make Love Not War" in my chest.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I chose that because the song talks about a war in love. But this whole make love not war thing, I think is the best thing that people should say or hear these days, considering this whole situation that we got going on in the world. And I don't think that we should ignore it in any way. I'm really serious about it, and I'm there with my heart, really. The third reason I chose that is because I've been a victim of bullying when I was like 11 or 12. And that period really changed me a lot. And I've been going through some rough times back then. And I'm thinking that if I have this small amount of power and influence, I can maybe raise some question marks or change something. Because I that thing of be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah, so I think that maybe if I can make just, I don't know, some people think about this whole problem of bullying and try to stop it ASAP, this is completely amazing.
And I'm wondering, we see in the national final, we also know from knowing more about you, you're a very creative person. How does it feel to be this young and you get to create that performance on your own. We saw in the national final, you created the dance stuff and everything yourself. Your vision is coming alive. As a young person, that must feel amazing to be trusted to get that creative freedom.
Yes, it does. It's really, really cool. And it might be really stressful and while practicing it, but when you see the final result, it's just extremely relaxed, and it's like all of your puzzle pieces come together in a bigger picture. So it's really, really cool. Yeah.
Who has been the most fun during the pre-parties to get to know from the other artists?
I don't know. Azerbaijan or Slovenia with Joker out. Yeah.
Can you see yourself collaborating with them in the future?
Yeah, yeah, that would be really cool. I just said in the interview before that it would be amazing. This is my idea, but I just think that it would be really cool if all of us in this year's Eurovision, would sing together "We Are the World," just as Michael Jackson and all the other artists sang in the USA for Africa song. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And this whole message that we got, I mean. I encourage people to vote for risks, for youth, for this whole love freely thing that we're trying to deliver, and this whole phenomenon of rock and roll in Eurovision, because it's all about the music. And I think that, as Eurovision said some years before, music connects people, and I think that people understand music in the exact same amount that music understands them, if that makes sense.
And what is great about Eurovision is that, again, we are seeing more and more languages come back. You're singing in Romanian, we're having Slovenian this year, Czech, and a couple of other languages. What does it feel for you that not everything is in English anymore, but we are sharing more languages throughout this contest, where 300 million people get to now also hear different languages?
That's extremely cool, and I think that's what Eurovision is about, because it's just not a competition. It's more than a competition. I think it's just a music holiday and an anniversary for musical cultures, and we all get together, and people all around the world hear music in several languages. Some days ago, I posted the second part of a nice series that I'm making on my YouTube channel. I make a series in which I sing all of these 37 songs, and it's really challenging singing in foreign languages, because that's really, really tough. I made Portugal, I made Slovenia, which you talked about earlier, I made Finland, I made most of them, and there's gonna be the third part coming out really quickly, so if you haven't seen them, you should really go check them out. It's really, really cool.
Final question. Who are your style inspirations? You have a great sense of style of your own. Who are your inspirations? Who gave you your sense of, oh, I like this or this and that? Is that coming from friends, family, others, artists? What is the inspiration behind your style?
I just love the rock and roll 70s, 80s style. Yeah, it's something I really, really follow. And my ideas combined with my stylist's Rodica Puka ideas, they just go really well together, and we build things like this.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Have so much fun during this Eurovision time. I think you're having the time of your life.
Yeah.
Go and have some fun, and we can't wait to see you soon.
Thank you so much, and don't forget to vote for Romania. It will be amazing, and I love you all so much.
Thank you so much. Yes. And I am now joined by Delia from Iceland. Yeah. What has this experience been like? Because it's crazy out here.
It's absolutely crazy, but like good kind of crazy. Crazy. Crazy.
How did you prepare for all of this? Like mentally. Can you even?
No.
Not at all, right?
No, you cannot.
What is it like at the end of the night? Are you like laying in your bed going, so much happened? Or can you like chill?
Yeah. Like I basically go into coma at night because like it's so much going on during the day. And then I just like pass out. Pass out. I don't have any room for thinking at night.
I can imagine. Now, your song is really powerful, but it also is a very, I think, tricky song to sing. How do you focus not on the vocals, but you focus on being present and really just emoting out to the world?
What I'm focusing on when I'm singing is just like the meaning behind the lyrics for me. But I've sang the song so many times, so like the vocal part is just like, it's there.
What is that meaning of the song for you personally?
For me personally, it's about like when I was younger, I had like this very bad anxiety and OCD, and it was like ruining things for me. Like, for example, performing, I couldn't enjoy it because I was so anxious, and like I'm not there still. Like I've taken the power from that part of me. So yeah, for me, that's about that.
Yeah, I have that too. I'm a DJ, and sometimes it's the same for me, where you're like, I don't think I'll enjoy this. And then you kind of go, no, I have to.
Yes, right.
And I have to ask, this Eurovision journey has been so fun. Have you been able to connect with some of the other artists yet?
Yeah.
And who has been the most fun?
Oh my God, okay. Oh, no! Do I have to say, like, okay.
But it's not a competition. It's just like, who has been fun for you to hang out with? It's not a competition.
Monica.
Yeah, why?
I just, we just clicked. We clicked very well. I love that girl.
I can imagine. And we have to ask, fashion, clearly your thing. Who are some of your fashion inspirations? Like, does it come from family, friends, or people in Iceland, or big celebrities? Who, like, inspires you for fashion?
I don't know.
No, not at all?
No.
There's no, like, people in your, like, that are your friends who are like, oh my God, what she wears is amazing, and I ask her for advice and stuff like that.
No, like, I have a stylist from Iceland. Her name is Anna Clausen, and she's, like, very good at it, and, like, she found this and gave it to me, so.
What is your style? What is your style? Is it, like, always these, like, cool, like, you know, gender fluid kind of baggy stuff? Do you also like to wear dresses? What is, like, your style?
I sometimes wear dresses. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, you can mix it up.
Yeah, but I think that gender fluid, like, it was pretty spot on.
Nice. And of course, we heard that you do a lot of CrossFit as well. That must help you in these weeks with that stamina of doing it over and over again. How does that kind of, you know, very physical workouts help you now in this process?
Yeah, like, my performance is very physical, so that helps a lot that I'm in decent shape. And yeah, just I think, like, just being in a good physical shape, like, helps with everything, because for me personally, like, I feel like mental and physical health, like, are very close to each other.
Truly, yeah. What are some of your favorite exercises to do in CrossFit, and which one do you really hate? For example, I hate burpees.
Oh my God, hate burpees, hate thrusters, assault bike. No, I love Olympic weightlifting. Yeah. And all gymnastic skills, yeah, like handstand walking.
I cannot do that. I have no balance to do handstands and stuff like that. So if we see each other later in the week, you might have to teach me as well.
Yeah, do you do CrossFit?
I do HIIT workouts, so it's kind of the same, but a total vault is not my thing. It's just too much for me. I'm just like, I'm trying. I'm slowly learning, but I'm really enjoying it as well.
Nice.
And I am wondering, if there is one song from this year's Eurovision that you wish you could steal and go like, oh, I wish I could do that song, which one would it be?
Finland.
Yeah,
it's so good. I love it.
Would you do it in English or Icelandic?
Icelandic, probably.
Nice.
I know.
That would be fun.
I have to try to like write a song in Karja's style in Icelandic.
Maybe make it a duet.
Yeah, like Finnish Icelandic, basically the same thing. So. Yeah.
And my final question would be, if we ask to see, we see you again in 5 years, what is your biggest dream, like, for you as an artist? What do you want to be? What do you want to do?
Like, the biggest dream was always going on Eurovision. I'm not just saying that, it's the honest truth. But the biggest dream now is just, like, to just release as many songs as I can. Like, songs that I'm happy with. Songs that I am passionate about.
Well, we cannot wait to hear them. Have so much fun in your semifinal. We cannot wait to see that performance. I think everyone in the audience will be blown away by this song, because it's such a burst of energy that I really love. Thank you so much. We'll see you very soon.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you so much. Can we take a picture?
Yeah, of course.
My roommate is really into CrossFit, and he took me once, and I was like, this is so much.
Oh my God, love it.
It's insane. Yeah.
I love you, the best.
Thanks.
So much, no, but it's like, it's so much. So I'm doing like the spinning, that's a lot of stuff that I do, and I do a couple of the HIIT workouts. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Nope. One of the, I think, most fabulous acts this year is joining me here in Liverpool finally.
Yes.
It's Gustav from Belgium. What is it like being in Liverpool finally?
It's amazing, yeah, and it's been a whirlwind, and I still have to get to know the city better. Luckily, I was here in March for a little promo tour, so I already got a grasp of the city. But what is mostly exciting is, I'm doing the interviews, meeting people who know the song, who like the song. It's been very, in a very good way, an emotional journey already, quite, for me. It's been really beautiful, I have to say.
It's been an emotional journey since the start, I think. I think, you know, your surprise at winning Euro Song and then seeing the song being embraced by the fans, the media, but also the other artists.
Yeah.
What has that been like over the last 2-3 months?
Well, yeah. Same thing, emotional. But you know what it is? I think because I felt I had a couple of bets against me in the beginning because it was controversial, my win. And I think any contest will be polarizing, to be very clear. But it feels nice because I really felt it gave me a drive to stay true to what I was doing. And I really knew, like, if I get to perform in front of people, if I get to portray the message in the right way, if I'm respectful towards the community when I say certain things, I knew it would probably propel the song into a positive space. And it feels very nice to see that happen. And I think when the artists and the fellow acts are so responsive and embracing the song, it kind of proves the point that if you just hold on and you hold on to your guns, it can be rewarded. And it feels really nice to have that support.
Is it rewarding to know that you created this from a magical place, from a really personal point of view, this song, and that is also being embraced?
Yes, because today was one of those moments as well where, you know, the beautiful thing is with this whole experience is a lot of the people who do media and from every level, they all have love for Eurovision. Even the people, if you come from a big broadcaster, they send the people who have love for the festival. So it becomes a lot about, you know, you talk to people who have a similar experience. It's a lot of queer people I meet. And like one of the guys today, and it really touched me, he really told me, because he was dressed fabulously, and he told me, yeah, but I normally always tone it down because I feel like I don't want to be too flamboyant, I don't want to be too offensive, which is a typical thing I think we gays have, as especially when we're young, because he was a young guy. And he said, and I really felt the courage to dress more fabulously because of what I saw with your act, and it gives me courage. And I really had to be strong for him because I would really break down and cry because it really felt like this is what it's about. You really have to. That was why I wanted to write this kind of song, to write an anthem that really is about self-empowerment and thanking the people around you. And that feels great to see that people have that they find, you know, something that resonates and something that they understand. That's the biggest compliment I can get as a songwriter, as an artist. Yeah.
What was that journey like for you, creating that self-empowerment and that journey of, indeed, when you're a queer person, of slowly finding out where that you can push boundaries, yeah, with clothing, with art, with expressing yourself, and also body language, stuff like that? What was that journey like for you?
I'm really a late bloomer when it comes to that, and it took a long time for me to really come into full bloom with who I am, and especially as an artist, how to portray who you are in your art in a full and in a way that's credible. Because for me as an artist, when I started out, a very young age, very ambitious boy, wanted to be a pop star and all the projection that goes with it. And then I had a hit record in Belgium. I made it onto, like, I won the best debut in the, like, our local Grammys. But this was a different era. It was 20 years ago. And people were telling me in that point, tone it down. Like I just said, don't be too flamboyant because it will throw people off. You'll lose fans. Girls won't like you if you're too flamboyant. And I was out and proud from when I was 14, so I felt very disconnected to my art in that moment. And yeah, it made me actually, you know, I actually just drew back from the industry at that point because I just felt in order to have success, I have to tone it down. I have to not be true to myself. I have to compromise who I am. And it really became a journey from then on where I was like, I'm just going to focus on the music, focus on the work, which really worked in my case. And I had so many great experiences. And I think, honestly, getting to be part of Hercules and Love Affair, it was the last kind of push I needed to really fully become who I needed to be on stage and as an artist, because I always say it with a wink, like Annie would say to me, you need to, like, really get over it and put on these pink leggings. And honestly, and I did that literally. And it really helped me to really, like, go over a lot of shit, because I think in Belgium especially, I still felt that heritage of that moment on my back all the time. And I think it's a great, you know, even as someone who's older, I'm 42, this has all been amazing, and it proves the point of, you know, it's never too late to make work of your dreams and to work at your dreams and to make it happen. Because I was really, you know, just thinking, like, maybe it's too late. But then I felt like, you know what, I still have ambitions. I still have a drive to do things. And I also felt I'm ready now. Whatever's going to come now, I'm ready because I am who I am. And once you're yourself, if you don't like it, yeah, just look at something else or listen to something else. But I don't care anymore. And that's really an empowering thing for me.
Then it must also feel really full circle to have a young queer dancer with a ballroom background who is an amazing Vogue dancer, Pussy, with you, in front of you, who you're now giving that platform to together. That must feel full circle then.
For sure. And for me, it was also, it's a couple of things I want to tell you about that, because with Pussy, the first thing for me was, because I do read, you know, what happens online, and people are saying, oh my God, if he would have someone from Ballroom come with a duck walk. And I was really thinking, like, we have to find something that is going to be great on stage, but also is true to the nature of the song. And I felt, because it is an ode to that culture as well, I wanted it to be very credible, and I wanted it to be very respectful. Yeah. So we had liaisons from the Ballroom world who got to work. We worked with Pussy before for a video, and we just really were trying to get her to come along because we felt it would really lift the act where it needed to be, and it was a lot about respect for the culture. It would make no sense to have a dancer do a Vogue on stage. That would really be the complete wrong signal. So that's beautiful to me that she wanted to really be part of the act, that she felt she could lift the act to where it needed to be. And the good thing about Pussy is, because she is younger than all of us, we're all like mothering and fathering him to death because we feel like responsible for him. And but she's I'm sorry, I'm saying him, and but I use both pronouns just to be clear.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Well, she feels when she's on stage as a bottom dancer, she's she.
And then when you're off stage doing the coaching and stuff, yes, like that, yes, it's he. Yes, well, that must be great to have someone who is that gender fluid and stuff like that. Then you've had Lola McQueen in your visuals as well. You have three amazing vocalists with you who are all of different genders, of different backgrounds as well. Yes. It really is a mixture of a lot of things that make Europe great, I think, in that sense as well.
Yes, well, I think when I got the opportunity to do the national final even, it was all about portraying the message in a way that was empowering and a way that was celebratory. And it was also about me giving, because the song is literally about, I'm here because of you. So it would make no kind of sense to make this song about me at all. It would be literally the wrong message. And for me, it goes in a lot of ways. It was with the vocalists, who I think are three stars next to me. They're a very big part of my performance. These are women who have taught me how to be a better person, a better artist, and a better singer. So it makes total sense for them to have a huge space on that stage with me. And, you know, I think for me, I'm very proud that Belgium is actually, you know, and especially the delegation and everyone is supportive of this message, because I never in one way felt I had to look for another direction. They were always supportive, and I could always make my own choices in that sense. And for me, again, what I wanted to say is I wanted to really take something that maybe isn't necessarily, especially I think in a European perspective, always in the mainstream, and to give it some attention and to make it positive and celebratory. Because I don't have nothing against the art of shock when you're an artist and when you use it in your art form, but for me that doesn't work. So for me, it was like I can show these things and these images in a mainstream platform, and it can be celebratory and it can be joyful. If people see this, they would probably just want to be on stage with us and have a party with us. That was very important to me to make it that message.
Was that first rehearsal joyful as well? Because you've done your first rehearsal. Was it joyful to see, because you've changed your staging a little bit? We see a different kind of staircase. We see there's a lot more interaction going on. Was it joyful for you?
Yes, it was. Well, the first rehearsal was not so joyful because I was still a bit like, oh my God, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. But I think that's quite normal. But the second one and the third one, I really felt we're doing something right. Something's worked here. And I think we always have a fear as artists, and especially in this thing, because mind you, we're working for months for a 3-minute show. So you have to get everything right for these 3 minutes. And even though everything was good, you're still wondering, like, is it gonna translate on the stage? So luckily I felt from the second one that it's going to translate. And for me, I'm just a perfectionist. So when I'm on stage and I see something happening, it's hard for me to not, I literally want to go to a cameraman and like, no, you're wrong, sorry, you have to be here. I'm just my nature. So that's something that I have to work on. But I felt a second and a third performance, I could let it go and I could feel the joy again of the performance. And also, honestly, I feel what we're doing now, the interaction with the vocalists and especially the addition with Pussy there as well. There's so much happening, and I can't help but smile every time I look at them. And I think that's what I really have to remember when I perform. So for us, it was a great run. We're going to tweak some things for the next rehearsal. But yeah, I think we got a great first rehearsal out of that.
Is it a weird process for you that is so involved with your art and everything? Where here, what I think maybe a lot of viewers don't know, is that after you do your rehearsal, you get that 45-minute feedback session, and that is it. That is all you can give them, and then you go into that second rehearsal. Is that weird? Because I think normally, especially for artists like you, you've worked with Hercules and Love Affair and others, it's a constant dialogue. You're changing things until 5 minutes before you go on. Is it weird to have it now be like, this is your time to immediately give your changes and feedback and then be done?
Yes, of course it is. My only good thing is I had a reference because I did that kind of thing with Raphonic and Sonic before. So I already knew how intense that can be. But it is, you're very right. It's quite insane because, again, it's only 3 minutes and you have to make everything work. And you have these moments only to fix certain things that you would normally be able to work on for weeks. Because when it comes to videos and stuff, for example, you could really, really work that out quickly. You can do editing, montage afterwards. There's a lot of post. There's no post here. You just have to do it. But I feel I'm surrounded by people who really have done this a lot. Hans Bonnekoeker, our director, he's worked also with a lot of the Dutch contestants as well. He comes into that and he's just like a full-on pro. And I can just lean back because honestly, that's the other thing as well. Artists, especially me, you know, when you look at yourself, there's a tendency that you want to cringe and just run away. So I just tend to like have people in the room who know what they're doing. My husband, he does the visuals. He can take that as well. And it makes me feel like I can trust them. Because as an artist, you want to change everything the moment you see yourself. Yeah, I think that's quite normal. So the good thing about this, I'm surrounded by a very good team that knows how this works. And we already could change a lot very quickly. And yeah, I think it was a great run through for us on Monday.
Yeah, and of course, in the song, we have an amazing message about, you know, queer love, queer acceptance, especially, you know, we'll have a drag queen act in one of the semifinal two as well. Of course, there's other stuff happening. How do you feel about in a time where things are maybe getting a little bit more polarizing to send out that message of positivity? That must be really like a cool way to plant that flag so outspokenly towards the entire, you know, viewing party of Europe and the rest.
Yes, yes, it's very true. I think we're coming to a point where there's a lot of polarizing elements, and I think it's kind of a shame that we're meant to look at our differences instead of our likenesses and the way we're all very alike basically instead of different. But I think it just comes with the territory right now. I think we're in a very interesting age because I don't think this ever happened before in our whole experience as human beings. So I think it's a matter of time, but I do feel, like I said, I have nothing against shock value. I have nothing against some. I think the idea of polarization is very interesting in a lot of ways, but I do think when it comes to me, I see more the resemblances we all have as human beings, and that was really what I wanted to portray on that stage as well. And I do like when people say this is something we need right now. We need something that just is cheerful and joyful, yeah, because that's also an emotion that's real. I think we tend to make it very complicated, our emotions, but sometimes it's just a primitive response that is very good for us. And I think if people feel the joy, if people want to celebrate with us, then we did a good job.
Is it weird to do that performance? Because I think especially you're one of the performers this year, which really, it comes alive with the crowd. I cannot wait for the first dress rehearsal with a bit of an audience and then that jury show where I think the audience will just embrace this like no other. Is it weird to do it now in like an arena where there's maybe 10 people just like giving you because the song is really, it feels like a reactionary piece together.
It's a performance song. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're very right. You're very good insight, I have to say. Yes, because, and I'm a performer. I've been doing this for 20 years. So yes, it is. It's quite weird, but I'm used to it, of course, because, you know, I'm used to doing promos and all that kind of stuff as well. But I have to say, I'm always better with a crowd. Like, for example, I've been performing a song in lots of promo settings before I got to do the Eurovision parties, for example. The first time I performed, I was really like, oh my God, I haven't sang this song for a crowd, actually, since I did the national final. And the great thing about Eurovision is those crowds are just insane. They sing along to every song, but for me, it's unique. I've never experienced coming on stage and having people sing the ad libs of my songs. That's fucking crazy.
I try it as well, but we're usually in the back and I'm like, other people are doing it too, so you won't hear me like botch all the notes. But that's been fun. And there's been so many people singing your song. Also, you know, we've spoken about it before. The other artists are doing it as well. Yeah. That must be like so much fun to really create that bond. You've spoken about how that really breaks down barriers of age and experience as well. Mm-hmm. What is it like to be here now all together and creating more of those bonds and sharing that creativity together?
Yeah, that's been quite a beautiful experience because I just had no reference for that. So when I came into the Eurovision parties, I was, of course, excited to meet everyone, but you don't know what's really going to happen. Some people might be just very pro about it and just want to, like, get the job done, which is totally fine, to be honest. But, yeah, I think we did our first party and our first press conference, and we all were put together in a little, like, reception area, and we just started talking. And I think we're all just artists who see the pressure cooker that Eurovision is, and I think that just makes you bond a bit more, and you know, you become buddies over the shared experience. And I think maybe in that sense, because it is crazy what we're doing, so I guess the song "What Got Me Going Crazy, I Carry On" is just a good anthem for that kind of energy. But it's been, yeah, and I actually can't wait to meet, because now the weird thing now is we're in separate hotels all over the city, and before we just met each other in the parties and afterwards the parties. So I can't wait to meet everyone again when we're doing more of the rehearsals. Like tomorrow, I think we're going to see more people. So I'm very excited about that.
Now we have to talk a little bit of fashion, because I was given a complete lowdown. You have so much, like, put thought and effort into working, collaborating with a UK, you know, designer for your hat, Belgian designers for you and the rest of the vocalists. Tell me all about it. Tell me what inspired you to work with so many artists, and what inspired what we'll see on stage in the show.
Well, yeah, I'm just a fashion kid, you know. I just love, not even a kid, I'm a fashionista, I guess, I'm not a kid. But, you know, fashion has always been very important to me as a way of expressing myself, and especially, like I just said, with my experience with Hercules, I learned, I think, through years working with them, the art of how you make, you know, costumes work on stage, and how to sometimes let go of, but is it only cute? Sometimes certain outfits are not meant to be cute. They're meant to have a meaning, and they're meant to have purpose. And I think that's what I try to portray with everything we're doing right now. I'm very proud that I'm represented by Walter van Berendonk, who is one of the Antwerp Six. He's a legend. He's worked for over 40 years. He's also from queer culture. He incorporated a lot of queer elements in his work. And that's the thing, like, I feel like the song is an ode to queer culture, so using him as a designer is also a great ode. Plus, he uses a lot of playful elements in his songs, in his costumes, which is something that I'll do as well in my music. So that's something I'm very proud of. The same goes for the hats. Walter doesn't make hats, so we had to find another solution. So, and the great thing with that is I work with artists, they make designs, and usually when they are comfortable and they work from their own world, they come up with the best shits. I shouldn't be on their case, like, I think you should make this or that. You just give them the space to be creative, and they come up with great stuff. So yeah, I think for me it's just a way of expressing myself, and it's the same thing. I'm just lucky because I'm surrounded again by people who know me. My husband's the visuals. We decided on the color schemes. Then you go to a designer, you say, this is the color scheme, what can we do? You go to the hat designer, this is the color scheme, what do we do? This is the vibe, this is the reference. And I think everything just really fell together for us within this staging, in that sense.
Is it comfortable to perform in? Because we all know, listen, as fashionistas, we know sometimes fashion is not comfort.
And it's not meant to be comfortable.
Exactly. But is this comfortable for you to perform in?
The outfit is, the hat is not.
No, why not?
The hat is just, we need to make it tighter. So for tomorrow, we're gonna have to bobby pin the hell out of this hat.
Listen, it saved so many drag queens. A bobby pin has saved so many drag queens in their life. It will save you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, ooh,
there,
wow,
we go.
Ooh.
See,
it popped. But no. But so, we saw of course, the photos from the first rehearsal. We've heard that was not the only choice you have for outfits. Is that correct?
Well, yes. What can I tell you? I can tell you that there's something that was missing, and we changed some bits and bobs. And we're going to come up with something new for this, probably tomorrow already. It's just something that I felt like, it's good, but we're not quite there yet. So we're going to have to change some things here. And yeah, right now, can't say too much, but Walter is working on something that we're going to use tomorrow. And it will be a bit more elevated. It will work more again in the scheme of things and the scheme of the colors and everything. So yeah, we're gonna tweak it a little bit.
Of course, the carpet is coming up. What are we doing there?
Well, I can tell you it's also designed by Walter van Berendonk, and it's gonna be a little twist on the idea of a tux.
Oh my, I cannot wait. My final question for you would be, of course, Eurovision, there's many ways to win it, personally, career-wise, maybe even the competition. What would be your personal victory for this Eurovision coming out of it? Next week, after the final, what is for you the personal victory?
Well, the personal victory is a couple of things. I think first and foremost, if I've done well, that I can get to tour with the song, I get to play the song, I get to go out in Europe and perform it. And to have, you know, something of a music career that can just last would be wonderful. I mean, I have a career, but I think I've never really worked in the mainstream for a long time. And it does feel right in a way that I feel like go where you're loved, and I feel there's love in areas.
Hey!
This is so adorable.
Mwah, mwah. Mwah. Aww.
Look at that happening as well. But what is the personal victory? So that's a career victory. What is it?
The personal victory for me is that the song will, what I already told you, that the song resonates with people. If my song can be a little the little back on the shoulder, a little pat on the shoulder to give you the strength to be yourself, that's the most amazing thing. And I do feel like I really want to keep profiling myself in queer culture, in queer events. Any pride that asks me, I will make time for it, because I think it's very important to support the cause. And then the older I get, the more I feel like by just being myself and by being true to that, it is political. And it still needed this political message. And I think until all the shadows disappear around us, we're going to have to be political. And I feel very driven to keep doing that until the day I die.
Well, I have to say, I think you are one of indeed the brightest lights this year at Eurovision. And the light will shine brightly for Belgium on that stage with an amazing collective of performers. And Gustav, I cannot wait to see you shine. Go and relax the next couple of days. And we will see you at the carpet.
Yes.
I'm going to try and keep at your level.
I want to see you work it as well.
I have a little look. Okay. I mean, it won't be as good as you. I know that.
We don't know yet. I don't know yet.
I trust you.
I see it.
Gustav, thank you so much. Thank you. And enjoy. We cannot wait to see you perform and go kick some ass in Liverpool.
Thank you so much.
Mwah. Mwah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
well. Ach,
dan.
Mai.
Echt
goeie vragen. Fijn. Ik heb echt inzicht.
Ja, maar ik denk dat dat is het leukste aan wat wij mogen doen met de podcast en ook met OutTV. Je mag die verhalen wat meer vertellen.
Ja.
Dat is ook, dat zie ik nu ook met nog steeds interviews uit 2021. Mensen kijken die nog steeds.
Wow.
Omdat ze nu die artiesten nog zien die staan nu te toeren bij GoA. Dat interview gaat nog steeds heel erg goed.
Okay.
En dat soort dingen. Dus dat zijn belangrijke bouwblokken voor artiesten die, want wat ik heel erg merk bij de jongere generatie, die hebben nul referentie meer.
Right.
Mijn broertje kent de Beatles niet, dat soort dingen.
Ja.
Dus als ze naar aanleiding van iets wat ze dan ergens horen of zien, de rest gaan opzoeken, that creates the context.
Ja,
het is niet meer zoals vroeger de popbladen waarin je die elke week leest en op die manier
gewoon meer letterlijk. Ja.
Dus dat we dit soort dingen kunnen vertellen, vind ik altijd heel erg belangrijk. En dat is het leuke aan wat er kan.
Ja, want het is goed, je hebt context, je hebt inzicht. Great job.
Wij moeten even schakelen, sorry.
Ah ja,
dat is goed.
Sorry.
Even snel een fotootje maken en dan gaan we vandoor. Je hebt ook nog een foto.
Tuurlijk.
Deze meid, neem heeft echt looks mee.
Sparking darling.
I love it. Nee, maar dit looks amazing.
Oh,
it's really good.
Let me see.
See you soon.
See you soon. Ah, on the red carpet, hè?
Ja, wij zijn er ook. I've got a good glitter like stuff going on.
Oh, I can't wait, I can't wait.
Eens komen kijken.
Bedankt om te komen, hè.
Graag gedaan.
Ja,
we're happy to support. Ja, dat is hier in de buurt. We zitten in de buurt.